Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you now know what you've been up to? Hallelujah. So all over the world, people are shouting the victory because they're understanding they can be loved. You know this term, beloved. This is the place you're accepted. See, the place you belong, according to Ephesians chapter 1, you're accepted in the beloved. See, you have to take your place there. And the way I've found that I experience my place in the beloved is to be loved. In other words, my focus in life throughout my day and throughout my night is not my work or my love or my attention toward Him in the sense of my effort to find my place before Him, but it's being loved by Him. And then I find my love for Him is reciprocal. God wants you to understand today how much He loves you. He loves you completely. And so I want to share some things with you that's going to make your heart happy. But first, let me say, I just had a little testimony happen after the first service. I went back, shook some hands, hugged some people, and signed some books and things like that. And a man came up to me with Pastor Dan, and he said, "Keith, I pastored that facility you have in Beirut, Lebanon for 3.5 years. He was a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. He came to the Rock for the first time this morning, and he heard about this campus, and he says, that's where my family ministered. His dad ministered there for over 20 years. Isn't it wonderful? This brother now lives in the Inland Empire, and it's from the Inland Empire, through the loving gifts and gracious and kindness of you, that this whole place is available. Yeah. So my heart was blessed, but I just want you to know that Jesus Christ has put you in a place where you look good before God. You know, when I ask you before you're seated to greet somebody and say you look really good or you look wonderful, you know, most people don't know how to handle compliments because we always are inspecting ourselves. You know, we look in the mirror and we see an age spot or a wrinkle or the makeup's not right or you have a bad hair day or you're a little, you know, overweight or your clothes don't fit right. We're always judging ourselves and we don't think we look good. But see, God thinks you look good when you take your place accepted in the beloved because God sees you through the finished work of Jesus. See, most people think that their position before the Father is based on them. It's pretty overwhelming. In fact, the old covenant, the first covenant was for the Jewish people. It wasn't for the Gentile. It was for the Jewish people. And the Jewish people had a covenant with God where they found their favor with the Father based on their ability to do right and be right. And if they could do and perform all that's written therein, they could be blessed. But if they missed the mark, there was an attachment to the covenant called a curse. It's called the curse of the law. And so they were always looking to themselves, their own sufficiency and their own ability to be good enough before God. So the idea of having a God visitation overwhelmed people. Even to this day, if you ask people out on the streets or in the mall, or if you ask people who are in churches, most people deep in their heart don't want God to visit them. Because they don't know if God's got good news or bad news. See, most people have a worldview of God that He's going to get you. You know, and they have all kinds of references and verses and Bible stories. God's going to get you. See, they see themselves before God based in themselves. And if you're going to live that way, you're going to always be disappointed with yourself because you're never good enough. See, let me ask you a simple question. Jesus made a statement one time. He said, no one knows the Father except the Son. And to whom the Son reveals Him to. Let me ask you, is it possible for anybody to have a clear, total picture of who God is apart from Jesus Christ? Is it possible that if you try to have a worldview of who God is, apart from the finished work of Jesus in the earth, is it possible that your idea of who He is toward you could be skewed a little bit? Could it be off just a degree or two or three? See, Jesus is the express image of God, Hebrews 1. The Bible says He's the icon of God. So here's the idea. The idea of having a visitation for God or from God, if my relationship with Him is just based on my ability to do right and be right, it is an overwhelming thought. Because on my best day, I can't qualify. See, the law could never qualify anybody. The Bible says if your right standing or righteousness with God could come through the law or your performance to the law, Jesus died in vain. So Jesus has put you, given you an opportunity to be accepted in Him, where God sees you not based on yourself, but based on Himself. Let me explain a little story. Go with me in your Bible, if you would please, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. This is the Christmas story. It says, "Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night." Now notice, friends, these are the Jewish boys, okay? These were country boys. These were farmers. These guys had a job. They worked the night shift, okay? Their job wasn't perfect, but it was a job. So they were happy they had a job. It was the night shift. And they understood that their relationship with God was based on their performance to the law. And so when they had a visitation, it overwhelmed them. Look at the next verse says. It says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid." See, if you're not established in God's love for you, if you're not being loved, fear will always torment you about who He is towards you. See, the only thing that gets rid of the fear in your life is the love of the Father for you. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. So they were greatly afraid. Verse 10, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" Now think about this. Here's a messenger from heaven, from God, saying you don't have to be afraid of God. "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Now, this is why this is a mission message. I would preach this in the Inland Empire. I'd preach it in Beirut, Lebanon. I'd preach it all over the world where we have campuses and teams. Why? Because this is a message for everybody. This means it's a message for good people and bad people. For faithful people and unfaithful people, for saints, or at least those who think they are, and sinners, for rich people, for poor people, for black people, for white people, for red people, for brown people, for people. Don't exempt yourself because of yourself. This is good news for you today, and I promise you, if you have a believing moment, your heart's going to get help, you're going to be filled with joy, and you're going to find yourself being loved in a way that will dramatically change everything about you and your perception of Him. You can be loved. It's great news to all people. That means it's good news for Republicans. It's good news for Democrats. It's good news for socialists, and communists, and Hezbollah. In Hamas. It's good news for the Tea Party. It's good news for the Starbucks Party. That's me. I'm a card-carrying member of the Starbucks Party. That's my political affiliation. No, I'm just playing with you. But what I'm trying to say, this is good news for all people. What's the good news? The next verse says, "For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior..." Not somebody who's going to sink you, somebody who's going to save you. Not somebody who's going to come to you and tell you what's wrong with you and tie you know, boulders around your ankles and say, adios. Somebody doesn't save you because you're good. Somebody saves you because He's good. It's a Savior. Christ the Lord, this will be the sign to you. You're going to find this baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth." Everybody say, on earth. On earth. You know, that's where you and I hang out. That's where we are. If you didn't know where you were, you're on earth. Now notice what happens on earth. On earth, there's peace. That's shalom. We're wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. It's the prosperity of heaven in your life. There's peace and goodwill. That's favor. Toward men. Toward men, not among men. See, Jesus didn't bring peace among men. He said, "I've come to bring a sword." All you got to do is mention the name of Jesus in a school or a political rally or anything else. You know, you're going to make people mad. Jesus brings peace and contention among people. So Jesus didn't come to bring peace among us in the sense that everything's going to be perfect because He came. But Jesus came to bring peace and goodwill toward men from God. Because God is now going to change the equation for all of humanity on how humanity finds their acceptance or approval before Him. He's going to change the whole game. He's going to change the whole system and get people out of a system that the Bible says He found fault with. Because nobody could qualify through their own effort. So God made a deal with Himself. God made a deal with Jesus, and now it's not based on the obedience of man, but it was based on the obedience of one that righteousness could be granted as a gift. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Yeah. There's peace toward you. There's goodwill toward you. Now, if you think that your fellowship with the Father is based on you, it's got to be nervous nights. Because if you think God's in heaven just keeping track of every time you miss the mark. See, a lot of people think He's a record keeper like that. That it's your religious duty to qualify before Him. If you think that you qualify before God like this, this is you and this is God, it's overwhelming. Because you're never good enough. But see, Jesus has come who qualified you before the Father, and your faith puts you in Him. You're in Christ. And Christ is in you. The Bible teaches it's a mystery. It's a mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a mystery of godliness. Because your faith gets you out of yourself and puts you into Himself. And now God doesn't see you based on you, sees you through Jesus Christ. Yeah. Give the Lord a shout. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now you can afford to be loved. You can afford to trust Him completely for everything. You know, in the Old Testament, let's say these shepherd boys. See, I was a little farm boy as a kid. I raised farm animals, and I wasn't the best boy. And, you know, I'm still not the perfect boy. You know, because the Bible teaches if you miss in one point, you're guilty of the whole load. What a bummer. You know, the Bible teaches whatever is not of faith is sin. Gosh, you know how many times I sin? More than I'd like to explain. Because a lot of times I'm trusting in my sufficiency, not the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches if you know to do good and do not do it, it's sin. What a bummer. So get yourself out of qualifying based on yourself. Keep your eyes in Christ, and understanding faith has put you in a place where God deals toward you with peace and favor because of Jesus. You're in Him. In the old covenant, if I was a shepherd boy, and let's say I was naughty, let's say I broke some of the commandments. I dishonored the Sabbath. I dishonored my parents. I said a naughty word, took the Lord's name in vain. Let's say I coveted the neighbor's donkey. Okay, so I knew, man, I was bad. Son of a gun, I failed again, okay? And so I'm trying to live right. I can't be right. I'm failing. So I have sin on my conscience. See, the old system could never get sin off your conscience because you're always inspecting yourself. See, if you keep your eyes on you, it's really a poor view. It'll never satisfy you because you never can qualify. But in the old covenant, the system was with the sacrifices that I could go before the priest. Now, the priest knew I was a sinner, but I didn't go to the priest alone. I went with the lamb. Yeah. You know, when I go before the priest doesn't say, oh, it's you again, Keith. What a loser you are. I seem to see you about every week. Your dad told me you're not going to amount to anything. In fact, your whole family tree, your whole family genealogy is screwed up. You guys are losers. You think the priest would talk to me like that? No. The priest, listen, never inspected the sinner. The priest inspected the lamb. And when the lamb is inspected, I was considered accepted. My life was seen in the life of the perfect lamb. That's a picture of Jesus. Somebody say amen. This ought to give your heart hope. This ought to give your heart help that you and I can be loved. We are forgiven. We are favored. We are fruitful. Why? Because Jesus has come to be the Lamb of God for a new system, a new operating system. God is not mad at you. He's mad about you. He took out all his wrath in the sin he placed on Jesus Christ, which was my sin, which was your sin, which was the sin of the whole world. He put it on the Lamb once and for all in eternal redemption, and he did it before you got here. Yeah? So Jesus has come to be the Lamb of God. Your approval now with God is not based on your performance. It's based on the perfect performance of Jesus Christ. His obedience to the cross gives you a gift called right standing with God, or righteousness. It's awesome. Let me explain what I mean. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. You know, if you said, well, what did Jesus come to the earth for? People say, well, he came to seek and save the lost. He came to heal the sick. He came to help the poor. He came to do all these things. And that's true. He came to destroy the works of the devil. There's many wonderful Bible verses that tell you what Jesus did, but how did he do it? How does Jesus work in our lives? How is it triggered and accomplished today in our lives? Well, look at it. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus is having a conversation with the Father. And he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Question, do you think Jesus did the will of God in the earth? Do you think he did it perfectly? Of course, right? I have come to do your will, O God. What was the will of God for Jesus in the earth? He takes away the first operating system, that he might establish the second operating system or covenant. See, if you're going to live your life before the Father based on the worldview of the first, God said he found fault with that system. And that system will always bring condemnation to you, and you'll always feel like you died inside. That's the only ministry of what was written engraved on stones, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Your fellowship with the Father now is technically not based on you. It's based on your faith in Christ. And when you come and find yourself accepted, you breathe differently. You think differently about him because you know he thinks differently about you. He sees you covered in the finished work. He sees you with your sins forgiven. It's amazing. And so I want to encourage you to change your worldview about who he is, and the way it happens and unfolds is when you're being loved. We love him, the Bible teaches, because he first loved us. Until we really know how much he loved him, we just kind of have a performance trying to show our love for him, but then living with disappointment about him. And we think, well, we got to love him in a certain way to show our approval toward. No, but if you have your love for him a reciprocal of being loved, your whole life in faith, in the equation of how you're going to relate to one another in this earth arena and how you're going to relate to God, is all going to be based on the finished work of Jesus. And that's where there's great joy. So there is a new operating system. The first one, God found fault with. The first one, God said is obsolete. All in Hebrews chapter 8. So, have you ever had new technology operating systems and you don't upgrade? We had to buy a new printing system for the ministry, and it really ticked me off. Because the old one worked fine, but they upgraded all the softwares and all the computers, and the new operating system wouldn't run the old deal. So I had to buy or lease a whole new system, and it bugged me. You know, it reminds me of a lot of people who are still trying to find their favor based on a system that God calls up. No wonder. You know, if you have an operating system on your mobile phone and try to use it, it'll drop calls if you don't update. Then you get mad at the phone, tick you off, you know, you get angry. If you try to find your favor with the Father based on you, it's going to trouble you. You won't even like your own company because you're just not that good. But in Jesus Christ, there's a way for it. Let me tell you a little story to paint a picture of how this works in my little world. Recently, I had one of my friends come to me and said, Keith, can I go with you to Lebanon? I said, sure. Now, he's gone and worked in a lot of our campuses around the world. He's about 78, 79 years old. His name is Floyd. So I said, yeah, Floyd, just come. You're welcome to go with me. So then some bad things happened in Lebanon and Syria and all the war and the chaos and the problems. And he and his wife kept watching the news. And so they got nervous, so they came to me and said, oh, Keith, you know, we're nervous. Maybe we shouldn't go. I said, oh, that's okay. Whatever you want to do, You're welcome or not welcome. Let me tell you this, Floyd. If you want to go, all you have to do is follow me. Because where I am is going to be just okay. Everything's going to be all right. And I said, back, if you follow me closer, you'll have a better experience traveling with me than you'll ever have traveling with yourself. Because when I travel now, I fly so much. I'm pre-qualified for all these executive lounges in airports. Now, when you travel a lot, you know the value of an executive lounge because an airport feels kind of unfriendly and judgmental. You know, when you go, an airport is called a terminal. It's kind of like a terminal condition. You feel hopeless because when you go in one, you're inspected. You're judged. You have to qualify. You strip down. I mean, almost. You take your shoes off, your jacket off, your belt off. Your shoes off. You take it all off. They pat you down. You stand before screens. They take pictures of you inside and outside. I mean, and people are ticked off and angry and violated. See, if you're going to live that you always have to be inspected to qualify, you'll never like yourself. But see, after I'm inspected, I just smile. Because even though I'm in the terminal, I'm not of the terminal. There's a place called a heavenly realm. It's called an executive lounge. Now, when I go directly to the executive lounge, the doors open automatically. And when you step in, it's different. Different music, different feel, different peace, different everything. People who call you by name. People who are nice. So when I go in, I go before a judge. And as I go, I give them my information, my passport, my details. They check me up on a system, a computer system. Then they look up and say, Mr. Hershey. I say, yes. They say, you're welcome. Come on in and enjoy everything that's on the house, all the food, anything you need. If you need people to help you, we got you covered. I say, thank you. And then I say, oh, by the way, this is Floyd. Floyd's with me. You know what they do to Floyd? They say, Mr. Floyd, welcome. No identification. They don't know if I just picked him up at a bar. They don't know if he's good or bad, Republican or Democrat, Hezbollah, Hamas. He's accepted in me. They look at him but don't see him. They look at him and see me. This is a picture of Jesus in you. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. See, faith is the courage to accept that you're accepted. Faith is the courage to take yourself out of the equation and put yourself into Jesus, who is the equation. Faith gets you to a place, even if you miss the mark, to turn. You know, repentance means to change your mind about what you think and where you're going. Let's say I'm going through Heathrow Airport and Floyd's following me. If you had to follow me back to the San Fernando Valley today, I'm going to drive fast because I want to get home. Okay, but let's say you take your eyes off me. If you don't follow me and you look into the scene, you're going to be lost from me. See, people that don't look to Jesus always get stuck in themselves. And then they fail in their flesh and do all these things that they didn't want to do. And then they think God's against them because they missed the mark. Oh, God thinks I'm a loser. I never was right with God. I must be terrible. And you start inspecting yourself instead of keeping your eyes on the one you're in. Let's say I'm going through the Heathrow Airport and I'm going quickly to get to where I belong. Because I belong in the heavenly realm. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I'm qualified to be there, not because of me, never, but because of Jesus. Let's say Floyd follows me. Okay? And now he starts looking at the lights. He looks at all the duty-free shops. And he says, oh, I think I'll buy my wife something. So he takes his eyes off me. I didn't know he stopped. I kept going. He wanders a few minutes, buys a Hershey bar. He buys a, let's say he looked at some magazines and, oh, he saw like a naughty picture. Uh-oh. Let's say he had a lustful thought. Example now. And now he says, oh, where's Keith? Oh, Keith's gone. I'm lost. I haven't been looking to Keith. He's gone. Now, I represent Jesus. Floyd represents you and me, the world. Human beings. Now he feels guilty because now he thinks, oh, Keith doesn't like me. Keith doesn't think I'm going to help him. I wonder if I'm saved. I had a bad thought. I remember what Jesus said. If I even have a lustful thought, I've committed adultery. Oh, God, I'm terrible. See, he's judging himself. He's inspecting himself. So he wallows in his despair for about 15 minutes and then finally has enough courage to accept that he's accepted. Yeah. He picks up his phone and calls me. He says, Keith. I say, hey, Floyd, what's happening? Oh, Keith, I'm so terrible. I say, Floyd, bite your tongue. Oh, Keith, I did such terrible. Floyd, it's okay. Dust yourself up. Come to the club. Because I'm at the door waiting for you. In fact, I am the door. So now Floyd is coming to the club. He's still judging himself, but now faith is in operation. Faith is the courage to accept I'm accepted. Not because I'm good, but because my Savior is good. So he comes to the club. The door's open. He looks like a long face. I said, cheer up. I love you completely. And I turn to the judge who inspects everybody, and I say, hey, friends, this is Floyd. Floyd is with me. You know what they say? Welcome, Floyd. They don't see him because he's bad. They see him because I'm good, and he's with me. Yeah. This is how much God loves people. So we need to encourage people to be followers of Jesus Christ. Let me show you another scripture real quick. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And then I need to finish. The Bible says, but we all, with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror. Everybody say mirror. Mirror. How many used a mirror this morning? Some of you need to use it again. No, I'm just playing. Praise the Lord. Okay. But we all with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror. What do you see in the mirror? You see you. You know you technically have never seen your face with your eyes. Your eye can't see this part of your face. The only way you know what your face looks like with your eye is through a reflection in a mirror. And you have to believe the mirror. You know all mirrors don't tell the truth? Have you ever looked in the mirror and you had like bedhead or something? You look and you say, ooh, gosh, is that me? I'm looking bad, huh? You know? And then you get all fixed up and look and say, my, huh? Sometimes I say, Heidi gets to look at this all day long. Hallelujah, God bless her. But here's the deal. See, we all with an unveiled face behold as in a mirror. What do you behold? The glory of the Lord. You're being transformed. See, when you look to Jesus and follow Jesus and receive his life and give him your life, there's the unity that's indescribable. But you're righteous in him because of his work and his faithfulness, not your obedience and your faithfulness. You're righteous because of him. Your faith puts you in him. And if you behold him, you don't see yourself. You see his self. See, the mirror of Jesus Christ is when you look to him, you see his glory. So the way we're transformed, everybody say transformed. Transformed. The way you stay out of the shops, the way you stay out of the flesh places, and all of it's not bad. There's weight and some of it's sin, but it besets you. You behold Jesus. You behold the Lamb. You say, wow, the Lamb of God eternally qualified me before the Father. And as you behold him, you're transformed into the very image of who he is. The Bible teaches that you're predestined to be conformed to the image of his dear son. That's your destiny. The way you get there is not by looking at yourself, by looking at himself and letting him love you and being embraced in his goodness. And I'm all out of time. Did you like the word? Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Say this with me. Thank you, Jesus. I am accepted. I am being loved. So I can love you. I am in Christ. Thank you, Lord. I follow you. I look to you. I'm transformed right now in my life to be like you. You're fixing my world. I have full favor. I am fully blessed because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him a shout of praise. Pastor Dan, bless you.